The Great Escape is one of those iconic World War II action films, which portrays the real mass breakout of Allied POWs from Stalag Luft III. Amongst the all-star cast was British actor Donald Pleasence, more famously known for his roles as Bond villain Ernst Blofeld, and from the Halloween horror films. He plays a forger who goes blind in the camp. Nevertheless, his character escapes with James Garner, but is eventually shot by the Germans. But what a lot of people don't know is that Pleasence had actually been a prisoner in the Second World War and shared his personal experiences with the film's director. So, what did he actually do in World War II? How did he become a prisoner? And where was he imprisoned? Well, this is his story, and thank you to everyone who wrote in to me requesting it after my recent episode about another actor POW, Peter Butterworth of Carry On fame. Donald Pleasence was born on the 5th of October 1919 in Worksop, Nottinghamshire. His strict Methodist family moved to the East Lindsay area in the nearby county of Lincolnshire, where the young Donald was brought up. Eventually, he attended a grammar school in Sheffield before beginning work as a clerk at a railway station near the Steel City. However, whilst being a clerk might have suited his father, it really didn't work for Donald. He had another ambition: acting. And so in 1939, he changed careers, joining the Jersey Rep Company. It wasn't a great year to change careers. On the 3rd of September, the UK declared war on Nazi Germany. Unlike other actors, such as Clive Dunn and David Niven, Donald Pleasence did not rush to join up. In fact, he declared himself a conscientious objector and refused to enlist. However, he changed his mind when he saw the results of the London Blitz and joined the RAF in late 1940. He became a wireless operator in 166 Squadron, flying in Vickers Wellingtons and then Avro Lancasters. During the next 4 years, he flew over 60 missions. As he later recalled, "As an aviator, I was rather successful, right up to the point I was shot down." On the 31st of August 1944, his bomber took off from RAF Kirmington in North Lincolnshire. Not far from where he'd been brought up, Kirmington had been the home to 166 Squadron since the previous year. It's now the site of Humberside International Airport. And before you scoff, I know it isn't Heathrow or Charles de Gaulle or JFK, but it does fly to package holiday destinations such as Mallorca. So, now you know. Back on the 31st of August 1944, Flying Officer Pleasence and his crew were flying towards northwest France. Their target? A German V-1 rocket site close to the commune of Agenville. V-1 rocket attacks on London had commenced in June 1944, just a week after D-Day. Eventually, the Germans would fire over 10,000 V-1s at Britain during this latter stage of the war, and about a quarter reached London, where they killed over 6,000 civilians. Unfortunately, on this raid, Pleasence's luck finally ended. His Lancaster bomber was hit, and he bailed out. Of the 8-man crew, 2 were killed, 2 escaped, and 4 were captured. Amongst those 4 was Flying Officer Donald Pleasence. Landing safely, Pleasence was swiftly surrounded by German soldiers and surrendered. When his captors emptied his pockets, they found that he was carrying a serious amount of condoms. Now, these were not something he was carrying in case he met some young French ladies. As the RAF officer explained, he used them to protect the aircrew's microphones from condensation. One of the Germans curtly informed him he was not going to be needing those where he was going. He was to spend the rest of the war in a German prisoner of war camp, Stalag Luft Ein. Before I go on, I just want to thank Bernard, Jen and Jonathan for their ongoing support as patrons. And if you'd like to support my work and get exclusive live talks that deep dive into British history, then please click on the link in the description. And now, back to the story. Stalag Luft Ein, or 1, was situated on the Baltic coast of Germany, close to the city of Bart, which is about 100 miles northwest of Berlin. Originally established in 1941, by the time Pleasence arrived at the camp in late 1944, it was home to nearly 9,000 POWs. British and Canadian airmen accounted for less than 20%, a fifth, of the men. Can you guess who made up the rest? During World War II, 94,000 US servicemen were captured by the Germans and their Italian allies, of whom nearly 36,000 were airmen. and by now, 7,500 of those American airmen were housed in Stalagluft Ein. One of the Americans already in the camp when Pleasants arrived was John C. Morgan. From Texas, Morgan had volunteered for the Royal Canadian Air Force, but once the USA had entered the war, he transferred back to the US Air Force. Awarded the Medal of Honor following a bombing raid on Hanover, he was shot down in March 1944. Morgan spent the rest of the war in Stalagluft Ein. He was the only US Medal of Honor recipient to also be a prisoner of war. When he died in 1991, he was buried in Arlington National Cemetery. Actually, he was one of many notable prisoners incarcerated at the camp towards the tail end of the war. Amongst them was future Watergate burglar Bernard Barker and also flying ace Vermont Garrison. Garrison was another of those American pilots who'd previously flown in the RAF. In his case, the pilot from Kentucky had transferred back to the US Army Air Forces in July 1943 and was one of only seven Americans to achieve ace status during the World War II. He would go on to fly in both the Korean and Vietnam Wars, flying his 52nd combat mission on his 52nd birthday in October 1967. With 9,000 men incarcerated in the camp, tensions often rose over the smallest of grievances. On one such occasion, near the end of the war, a full-scale riot broke out. With the German guards' attention focused on trying to defuse the situation, 23-year-old Bob Hoover from the US Army Air Force, along with two other men, scaled the fence. Making his way to an abandoned airfield, he found a German reconnaissance plane, which he jumped into and flew to freedom. It's an incredible story, which marked just the beginning of an amazing career that saw him finally stop flying when he was in his late 70s. His dramatic escape to freedom is mirrored in a scene which doesn't end as happily in The Great Escape, and I'll get to that story in a little while. With the war going against the Germans, conditions in the camp began to deteriorate. Throughout the winter of 1944-45, there were frequent electricity blackouts, and even water supplies ran dry on occasions. In February 1945, Red Cross parcels, a vital supplement to wartime POW rations, were suddenly stopped. Many POWs visibly weakened, taking to their bunks, unable or unwilling to move. With the Soviets advancing from the east, many POW camps in modern-day Poland, such as Stalagluft Drei, from where the Great Escape took place, were evacuated, and the prisoners forced to march hundreds of miles in freezing temperatures. Some of those men now arrived at Stalagluft Ein, where their numbers increased the overcrowding and the pressure on the limited resources. A combination of exhaustion, lethargy, and pent-up anger pervaded the camp. The only glimmer of hope was the prisoner's own newspaper, the POW WOW, short for POWs Waiting on Winning. A daily two-sheeter, each barrack received a single copy, and the prisoners devoured the updates on Allied progress. Actually, there was one other glimmer of hope. As a budding actor with experience of rep theatre, Flying Officer Pleasants produced and then also acted in concerts which tried to relieve the tedium of camp life. On the 30th of April 1945, with the Soviet army advancing towards the camp, the prisoners were ordered to evacuate. Senior POW officer Colonel Hubert Zemke, United States Air Force, refused to give the order to the inmates. Heated negotiations with the German camp commander ensued. Now, it just so happened that Zemke was the son of German immigrants and thus was able to speak German fluently, which probably aided the prisoners' cause. Eventually, it was agreed that the guards would leave and the POWs remain behind. The following day, the camp was liberated by the Soviets. Zemke ensured that all the POWs wore armbands on which their nationalities were written in Russian. This seemed to do the trick, as whilst the Soviets wreaked revenge on local German civilians, the Allied airmen were left alone. In fact, many of the POWs joined their Soviet liberators, advancing into the nearby city of Bart to celebrate with any drink they could find. In the confusion, some 700 prisoners absconded. The ensuing chaos in the town forced the Russian commander to declare martial law to restore order. This applied not just to his own men and the German civilians, but to the POWs as well. Donald Pleasants and his fellow POWs now found themselves back in the camp, with the German guards replaced by Soviet ones, who refused to allow them to head off towards the British and American armies to the west. Eventually, after 2 weeks, an American colonel arrived and threatened to shoot the Soviet camp commander if he didn't release his supposed allies. Pleasance, along with the other British and Canadian airmen, was repatriated directly back to Britain. Meanwhile, the larger American contingent was sent home via the huge transit camps situated around Le Havre in France, known as Lucky Strike camps, after Lucky Strike cigarettes. Donald Pleasance actually spent 6 months in hospital suffering from malnourishment before finally being demobbed in 1946. Following the war, he resumed his professional acting career, initially back in rep theatres at Bristol and Birmingham. Despite the fact that he's best remembered for his film and television appearances, he was an accomplished stage actor, who was nominated 4 times for Tony Awards on Broadway. He made his first television appearance in the year that he was demobilised, and went on to appear in over 70 TV shows and series. These included playing Prince John in the ITV series The Adventures of Robin Hood during the 1950s. He also appeared as Ignatius Slate in the 1980s series Dick Turpin, which starred Richard O'Sullivan, and which I mentioned in my recent episode all about the real Dick Turpin. Check it out afterwards. It's episode 108. Also worthy of mention is that he managed to appear in Columbo and that other great 70s series, Hawaii Five-O. In 1954, he got his first film break in The Beachcomber. In a career that spanned 40 years and encompassed about 140 films, he was fortunate enough to work with the likes of Alec Guinness, Dirk Bogarde and Richard Burton. With his bald head and penetrating stare, Pleasance became most famous for portraying evil characters such as the notorious murderer Dr. Crippen in 1963. But probably the role that he's best remembered for was the James Bond villain Ernst Stavro Blofeld in You Only Live Twice. Goodbye, Mr. Bond. For a slightly younger generation, he will be remembered as Dr. Samuel Loomis in the cult Halloween horror films. Along the way, he played Heinrich Himmler in The Eagle Has Landed, which starred Michael Caine. Another great war film, although personally, I think the book by Jack Higgins is even better. And speaking of the Second World War, he also starred in The Great Escape. Based upon the real POW escape from Stalag Luft 3 in 1944, Pleasance played Colin Blythe, the forger who, if you remember, slowly lost his sight. His character was a fictitious addition to the story, written by former POW Paul Brickhill in 1950. In the film, Colin Blythe, despite losing his sight, nevertheless participates in the escape, being helped to freedom by James Garner. In a scene reminiscent of Bob Hoover's escape from Stalag Luft 1, they steal a German plane and fly towards Switzerland. Unfortunately, a mechanical failure results in a crash landing while still in Germany, and Pleasance's character is shot by the Germans. When he arrived on the film set, Pleasance gave the director tips on how the camp should look and how the prisoners should be acting. The director, John Sturges, told him to mind his own business. However, when Sturges then discovered that Pleasance had himself been a POW, he was man enough to apologise, and he involved the actor as an advisor to make the film more historically accurate. Married 4 times and with 5 daughters, Donald Pleasance was appointed an officer of the British Empire, an OBE, by Queen Elizabeth II in 1994. By now, he was living in Saint-Paul-de-Vence in the south of France. It was here, following complications after heart valve surgery, that he died in 1995. He was 75 years old. Donald Pleasance, with 140 films, 70 TV appearances, 4 Tony nominations, that's one heck of an acting career. And he was a war hero too, flying 60 missions and spending 8 months as a prisoner of war. His wartime story that I've told today is well worth remembering in its own right. But it's also a salute to all those Allied soldiers, airmen and sailors who spent time as prisoners of war in World War II. Thank you for joining me today, and I hope you enjoyed that story. Check out my recent episode on legendary highwayman Dick Turpin. It's episode 108. Please do drop me a line with suggestions for future episodes, and also become a patron by clicking the link below. Until next time, thanks for your support. Keep well, and I'll speak to you again very soon.